This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head.
It's radio.
Free
radio.
Hi everyone, we're just going to get started. I'll introduce the three spokespeople for today. I just want to say that for over a decade we've seen this reprehensible, chargeless allegations continue. And today we're here to see another sorry episode in that process where documents have been seized, in some cases read, viewed, mixed up. And so we're going to hear about what is happening in this ongoing travesty of justice. We'll just probably hear in this order, so Mr. Slansky, then Mr. Majoub, and then Madame Doyon. We have press packages with exact spellings for you. So if Mr. Slansky, you want to...
spell of your name too?
Yes, it's all there.
Okay, so basically what we're here to deal with today is the second stage of an application for a stay of the proceedings. This was already argued on October 3rd, and on October 4th, the court ordered that we engage in a process of going through all the documents that had been seized by the Department of Justice then separated out, reorganized, and all our documents were commingled with their documents. These were documents that were taken from this courthouse, from the room outside the courtroom where we were arguing this case. We had several boxes of materials. It was all taken by the Department of Justice. They assumed it was theirs, and they reviewed it all and mixed it all up. So we made arguments. The judge then, at the invitation of the Department of Justice, said that... they should engage in this process of looking at and separating out the actual documents. So the court ordered on October 4th, 2011, that we start this process through the assistance of a protonotary, a judicial official, to determine what is ours, what is theirs, and then to describe the documents so that we could show that they're prejudicial. That process has been completed. The documents have been determined by the protonotary to, in fact, be prejudicial, to be privileged. Everything that we alleged the first time is true. And so now we're here arguing about what should be done, what remedies should be granted. And as I said, we're seeking a stay of the proceedings. And we started argument yesterday. It's continuing now. We'll be back up there in a short while. So that's the nub of it.
So how is it then that the government's lawyers are able to say that this hasn't prejudiced the case?
They're claiming that, we haven't actually seen them, we haven't actually read them, there's no real prejudice. But everyone accepts that the burden is on them to prove that they didn't have access, that they didn't read them, that there was no prejudice. And they've only filed a few affidavits from some of their lawyers and some of their staff, and that's it. They haven't rebutted the presumption of prejudice, but they're arguing that they have.
We'll maybe take statements from all three, and then you can ask questions together.
Right.
So, Mr. Majoub, if you just want to go ahead.
My name is Mohammed Majoub. I have been detained for 12 years so far between detention and house arrest. However, it is not the first time for the Department of Justice to commingling their material with our material. It happened before in February 2011, and it happened again intentionally in my mind. They did it intentionally. They misled us. They mixed their material with our material, and they lost confidence in the whole process, the whole system. And again, we can't find a way to continue this proceeding. The minister should withdraw the case. The minister's lawyer filed, as Mr. Paul said, a few affidavit. In my opinion, they didn't say the truth. They lied to us. They misled us. And I can assist you, or I give you one example. We found out they copy our material. After 6 months, we found out they copy our material. None of them mentioned anything about it at all. However, how do we know if CSS or CBSA entered this room in the Department of Justice, there is no security measure had been taken at all. They transfer our material out of the Department of Justice without taking any security measure. How can this case continue? It is not fair at all to continue this process. A judge, in my opinion, and the Department of Justice should withdraw this case, and the judge should throw this case out. There is no way, again, to find a way how can continue. There is many violation in this case, as all of you are aware of it, such as interception of my communication with my lawyer, and they keep saying we didn't look to the material, which I disagree with them. I have no trust on the Department of Justice by any means.
Right. Madame Dion, if you want to make a comment.
No, I'll do that later.
Okay, perfect.
Does anyone have questions at this point?
It's been 12 years. Is there any way to explain what it is you're feeling today at this point?
How do I feel? Of course, I feel very frustrated, very upset. How the Department of Justice's lawyer sized my material, mixed with their material, they left it in 2 months without letting us know. At the end, they said we didn't look to your material. I disagree with them. In my opinion, they dishonest people. It's very, very clear. In my opinion, the dishonest people, they didn't say the truth from the beginning. If they say the truth from the beginning, they should say, we copy your material, we do this, we do that. We ourselves, myself and my lawyer and I, we figure out or found out the minister's lawyer copy our material. Then when we wrote back to them, they said, oh, sorry, we copy a few. It is not right. What is the justice here? How can I get fair trial after 12 years, after the commingling my material twice? It is not the first time. But this time, they sized minimum over 20 bucks for of material. And 15 of them is very, very sensitive information. It is not in the court's hand or the minister's hand.
So do you think the government is trying to rebuild the case since they cannot disclose the first evidence by having your boxes now?
I'm not going to speculate as what the government's trying to do or not trying to do. The fact is that they seized the documents, and the question is what flows from that. I'm not going to make any allegations about what they did intentionally, what they didn't do intentionally. The evidence, however, supports, and it is my position, it was my position in court, that they, in fact, negligent on several levels for several reasons in the manner in which they dealt with these documents, both the initial seizure, the subsequent failure to recognize what they had done, and the subsequent commingling and continued commingling. There is no real good excuse for the way this was handled. And it's extremely prejudicial. These are all litigation documents for the case. That's why they're in the room right outside the courtroom, being used in court, solicitor-client documents, the kind of documents that the courts say have to be given the utmost protection, and yet they've all been seized and used, were seized and had available to the Department of Justice to use. And so that's why there's no remedy here that can suffice to redress this prejudice, short of a stay.
But you said yesterday in court that they know your strategy now.
Yes.
Therefore, there is a prejudice.
Yes, that's why it has to be stayed. One of two reasons why it has to be stayed. One, because they now have all the information about the nature of our case, and they have a significant advantage in the continued litigation of this case. And secondly, because this is an affront to the proper administration of justice to have our privileged documents seized by the other side and available to them to use. The system only works if it's an even playing field. This kind of case is already very far from an even playing field. We don't even know the case to be met for Mr. Majoub. We have secret proceedings in relation to evidence they claim is national security. It's already skewed that we're walking a rock up the hill. And now, on top of that, they have our privileged documents. It could not be more unfair.
So how much more difficult does that make it for your client, who is already in a difficult situation, if the judge rules in favor of the Crown?
Well, I mean, if the judge, I've said yesterday in court, and I maintain the position that if the judge rules in favor of the Crown, this, I submit already, the process, the statute is unfair, the hearing is unfair, and I said yesterday, and I reiterate now, that this would be a travesty of justice if this were allowed to proceed.
Any precedent where, not Mr. Majib's case particularly, but in the case of commingling of documents, anything like that, any precedent?
Yeah, there are some, but nothing like this where the documents were taken from the courthouse. There are some cases, in particular a case that went to the Supreme Court of Canada called Celanese, in which there was an order of the court that was then misused in the sense that the one party got the other party's solicitor-client documents and reviewed them. And there are a few cases where that kind of thing has happened inadvertently. And the cases pretty much all say that in those circumstances, the prejudice should be presumed, which is how we're operating in court today. Even the government accepts the prejudice should be presumed, but they claim they've rebutted it because they filed a couple of affidavits and they said, well, I did only flip through the pages with no accounting for everyone else who could have had access to these documents for the month and a half they're in the Department of Justice offices in a room where the door didn't even shut, let alone lock. So how can they say they've rebutted the presumption of prejudice? I say, and I have said, they have not, they cannot.
We'll take just one more question, then we'll end this. So, do you want to go ahead?
Caesar's hands stealing all these documents?
Sorry, we have a question here. Can we take that first? Yeah.
Sorry. Yes.
No. Yeah, I'm asking a question.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you think that the Caesar's hands stealing these documents?
Well, there's no evidence of that, so I'm not going to suggest that that's the case. Do I think it's possible that CSIS has been in the Department of Justice offices reviewing them? Well, quite possibly. We can't know. That's part of the problem. That's why it's presumed prejudice. We can't know what they've done with it. They have to prove that they didn't do anything wrong with it, and they haven't provided proper evidence to establish that CSIS didn't have it, that they weren't there poring over things. We've in reviewing the documents, we've seen documents that are clearly privileged documents that copied many times over in some instances with clear writings indicating it's our material, some of it in Arabic, clearly Mr. Majoub's material. I mean, how can they say that this has not been carefully reviewed by someone, whether it's CSIS, whether it's Department of Justice, whether it's CBSA, whether it's someone else? I don't know. But it's clear that they've had access and they have reviewed the documents, contrary to the assertions of the government in court.
Go ahead.
I just missed the beginning of the scrum, so I just wanted to have a comment.
I hope Justice Blanchard can recognize what happened exactly in my case. He has, in his position, many evidence show him someone who copy my material. They didn't say who exactly give instruction. There is one or two lawyer give instruction to their assistant. We ask who exactly. They said we can't recall. How come they can't recall? Are they hiding maybe one of the lawyer belong to CSIS or CBSA or Department of Justice? How can find out who exactly give instruction to copy our material? My handwriting in Arabic and in English. Anyone of Department of Justice will recognize right away it does not belong to them. Why they copy it in first place? Again, Justice Blanchard has everything in his possession, and I hope he can find out what happened exactly. There is no need to have everything in your hand unless something in his mind. I hope he can order for my release.
So we're going to wrap it up here. If people want to have specific questions, we can perhaps get them later, but we have to go back up to court. So thank you so much, and we'll be updating you as things proceed. Okay?
For rabble.ca, this is John Bonner. Thank you for listening to John Bonner's audio blog, hosted by rabble.ca and the Rabble Podcast Network.